Hello, Burlington, and welcome to Net Zero Energy. I'm Jennifer Green, Director of Sustainability for the City of Burlington, where our goal is to reduce and eventually eliminate fossil fuel usage. Today, we have the privilege of speaking with John Clark. John is the power production technician at Winooski One Hydro Plant in Burlington. Winooski One's important because in 2014, when we purchased Winooski One, that tipped our portfolio into 100% renewable energy status. It's such a pleasure to have you on the Net Zero Energy podcast. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thanks
to
me. Thanks for having me over.
You are the power production technician at Winooski One. And for folks that don't know, it's the hydro plant that one sees when you're crossing into Winooski. It's just on the left side of the bridge. Before we get into sort of you and who you are and what you do and how you got to this place, just outline Winooski One for us.
Winooski One was privately owned for a while by Spruce Mountain Design and the Winooski One partnership. They actually acquired the site through Burlington Electric because they had the rights to the site. So 30 some odd years ago, or 30, almost 30 years ago to the date, they acquired the site and the permits and able to build a hydroelectric station there. And they started building in 1990, and it was completed in 1993. And it was online by November of 93. So it's been running just about every day since.
What's physically happening in there?
At Winooski One, we have three identical bevel gear turbines down in the basement of the unit of the station. Each unit can make 2,400 kilowatts to come up with a 7.4 megawatt station capacity. It's nice having three identical units because we have something to compare them to, so we can cross-reference temperatures, speeds, vibrations, and everything else, and they all use the same parts, so that's also very nice. And lately, we've done a lot. You know, the plant is 30 years old. We recently converted to an Allen-Bradley control system to match that of the newer control system at McNeil Station, so we have new integrations in the control room. We put in new fire suppressor systems throughout the station, especially in the control room, which is great because that's where I'm most of the time. And we're budgeted and taking quotes for a new rubber dam. So that'll be implemented here within the next 18 months. So, you know, continuously doing upgrades. We also just recently put in a self-contained hydraulic tank on the rake, which is an external piece of equipment, so that if it failed in any way, that it would be able to contain its own oil, so that we wouldn't have any spillage. And we always, since day one, have always used the vegetable grade oil externally for any of the hydraulics, just in case, just because of our proximity to the river. Also part of our low impact certifications. So constantly making upgrades, trying to stay ahead of the curve and just keep the plant running. So hopefully it's going to run for the next 40, 50 years for Burlington.
Yeah, I mean, I think of it like it's a big old Volvo that will go forever. You just have to keep putting new parts in on occasion, but
exactly.
just built to last.
Keep doing your maintenance and they should keep going.
So you go down into that space. It's cavernous. You mentioned it's a cave.
It's just a big hole in the ground. Like I said, the turbines sit in the basement, and when you come in and just look down, it's just like, oh, the turbines are at like 80 feet, and then the
underground.
Yeah,
wow.
And because the unit sits so low, they're below grade of the river, even downstream. So the site runs off of like about 35 feet of net head. That's the differential between the water in the back of the machine versus the front. That's why they have to be as low as possible. You know, the more net head that you have, the greater amount of power you can make with the same amount of water. When I have tours with grade school kids, I say, you know, the power of the water falling out of a 5 gallon bucket as you pour it on your foot, we're harnessing that power. But if you were to take that same bucket and climb 50 foot up and then dump it, you are not going to hold your foot still.
Yeah, ouch.
So
yeah.
It's same volume. It's just with more gravity, you know, with more, you know, pull on it, it's going to create more power.
So how does one become a power production technician? And what's your sort of your background from a workforce development perspective?
Well, I actually started on the site the second year of production. So in April 94, I started, and I came on as a part-time operator. So I learned the ropes coming from a different industry, you know, just how to keep the intakes clean and how to operate the dam and, you know, interface with the controllers. And my past employer helped sponsor me to go to classes and schooling. So I took a lot of classes and hydraulics and controls and welding, and it's a pretty diverse job where you're required to do a lot of this and that in order to keep the plant running.
So you're a jack of all trades, really.
Well, yeah, a John of all trades.
A John of all trades. So you went personally from working for a private entity to working for a public entity.
Yes.
And I think you were there in 2014.
Oh, yes.
Tell us a little bit about 2014 and why that's such a special number to us.
Well, at the year 2013, the contract that the prior owners had had gone away, and so at that point they decided to sell the plant, and they put it out to bid. But when they acquired the site from Burlington, it was ruled that Burlington has the first right to, you know, to bid. So Burlington took that and took it seriously and came with a bid that won. So they ended up acquiring the site, and in 2014, actually started working for Burlington Electric.
So 2014, of course, we think about transitioning to 100% renewable electricity, and it was the purchase, if I understand correctly, of Winooski One that sort of bumped us into that.
I think that helped
status.
Fill the pie, so that we could say that we're actually 100% renewable. And you know, it was a pretty proud moment for Burlington to be one of the first cities nationally to be able to say that.
We know that the plant is a percentage of our total renewable energy portfolio. We know that hydro, generally speaking, is about a third, 39%. Actually. And then of that, Winooski One is a fairly small percent, 7.1, around 7% of hydro. But it's still important because it's local, it's here, people see it, and it's got a fish elevator.
Part of the community, yeah, and it's a responsible renewable. You know, it's had a 20-year history of being a low-impact certified hydroelectric station. And one of the things that we do in order to do that is to allow passage of fish both upstream and downstream of the station. So it ends up being about 6 months out of the year where we try to trap and truck fish. We look for steelhead in the spring. And then in the fall, we transport landlocked salmon upriver. So the dates are actually March 15th to May 15th for the steelhead, and we run September 15th to November 15th for the salmon. The runs of the salmon are starting to increase. I think a lot of it's to do with the state doing lamprey control, and because we've been moving fish upstream, they're actually naturally reproducing up the river more, and so we're starting to see some of those return fish now, finally. And the steelhead runs are still low, but the fish systems work. We catch many other species, you know, by the hundreds, but not a lot of steelhead in the spring, unfortunately.
Wow, so interesting. So are you transporting other fish as well, or you just have your eye on the steelhead?
Because for years, we were transporting the steelhead upstream, but then the state was concerned that they were going to interrupt with the naturally spawning rainbow trout, which steelhead is almost like a subspecies of, but they didn't want them to compete. So we no longer bring them upstream, but whatever steelhead we do catch, the biologists will come in and still take all their data from the fish, and then we just release them downstream from the hydro.
So you briefly mentioned the FERC. I think if you didn't say FERC, it was referenced at least, which is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission.
Correct.
And needing to comply by FERC rules and regulations as well as state. Are you responsible for that reporting and keeping them abreast of our work?
Definitely responsible to make sure that the site is operating in such a manner so that we are, you know, within the permitted requirements. So that could be anything from flow going through the site, spill water going over the rubber dams, you know, control aspects of the turbines. You know, the type of oils we use, you know, and then of course the fishing and oxygen, nitrogen levels. We also monitor those in the river and temperature. So there's a lot to make sure that it is a low impact site.
Can you talk, just generally speaking, about weather on the dam, i.e.
Sure.
rain, and how that impacts your work, including production or non-production?
The plant is a 7.4 megawatt capacity station, but that's at very peak and the very optimum conditions. Unfortunately, we don't always see optimum conditions, so generally don't see that peak very often. But we are a flow of the river station, and when saying so, what I mean is that we don't feed off of a large pond. We're just taking whatever's available as flow coming down the river to generate, pass them through the turbines to generate power. With the exception of, like, in the summer months, we do have to spill 6 inches of water over the dam. And then during fishing seasons, we do have to, we're required to use X amount of CFS from the river flow through those bypasses to either allow fish to go by the station or to attract fish going, trying to go upstream. Now, last year we did have two events that were more than significant flooding events. So in July, I think it was July 12th last year, it was one of our biggest recorded floods since the inception of the dam. Back in 1927, prior to Winooski 1, there had been a huge flood that came through, which represented like 120,000 CFS. CFS is a measure for water that's cubic feet per second. And that's astronomical. And, you know, those events should never happen again because the Corps of Engineers, Army Corps of Engineers, put in reservoirs upstream to minimize those effects. Now with the reservoirs in place, we do not see all the water at once. And in fact, a lot of the partners upstream, I say partners like Green Mountain Power, and they're not direct partners, but we do all share the river. They'll, you know, instinctively start drawing the reservoirs down so that they have more storage, and then that storage will help reduce the flood impacts, which is good for everybody. It's not just good for the dams. It's good for all the citizens that live, you know, near the river. We had the flood in Irene, which is significant. That was about 40,000 CFS. And then last year, in July 12th, we had a flood that was represented about 43,000. So that was actually our biggest on history for flooding. And luckily, we were able to put out our flashboards and stanchions to direct the water away from the station and towards the spillway, and not a lot of damage. I mean, we had debris in the road, and, you know, we lost some flashboards, but we just shut the plant down, and a couple of days later, we were able to fire it right back up and start cleaning up and generating back online.
You mentioned, John, about sort of sharing the river with Green Mountain Power and others. What does that look like?
We are called Winooski One because we are the first dam on the Winooski River. Prior owners actually owned a dam in East Montpelier, and that was called Winooski 8 because that was the eighth one. And then even from there, there's still a like Wrightsville Dam above them. And but they all have the same requirements. They all have to have a minimum spill. They can't just stop the river, you know, and then, you know, let it go dry. So we all have to share that responsibility of making sure that the river's always flowing.
Mm-hmm. Well, John, you've covered so much. I am curious, if I was like a young person listening to you, I might think, wow, this sounds like a pretty interesting job. Do you have any advice for a young person or maybe somebody who's looking to make a career switch or get into the type of work that you do?
It's a great job if you like the, you know, working outside and, you know, working with controls and working with machinery. And of course, working with the fish, everybody seems to like that idea too. So it's a diverse job. So the more knowledge, the better, you know.
Any advice on what one might study at school?
I'd like to say that it would be mechanical, but there's a lot of other things to know as well. So, like, I have a knowledge about electronics and controls and hydraulics and but that mechanical background is going to be a big component. And then, you know, everything else we could probably teach you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, John. It was such a pleasure to have you. Learned so much, and I hope everyone else did as well.
Feel free to come visit sometime. You just have to coordinate through the city of Burlington, and we're back to doing tours now.
Okay, so, great. Yeah, so yeah. Folks can email me if they'd like at jgreen@burlingtonelectric.com if they'd like to learn about securing a tour with John. Thank you so much, John.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you again for listening to Net Zero Energy. If you have any questions about this podcast or what BED offers regarding incentives, rebates, or technological support, look for us at burlingtonelectric.com or call us at 802-865-7300. You can also follow us on Facebook. We're always here to help and look forward to engaging with you on our mutual path to net zero energy.